Good to see you guys back from a long trip. So I'm glad you're here, and I bet you are as well. Well, we are in Colossians chapter 3. That's our assigned topic today, Colossians chapter 3, and we're verses 1 through 17. So we don't have the full chapter, but we've got the first 17 verses. And so I wanted to break this up today a little bit. We'll read just a few verses, I think like the first four, and then we'll read some more, and we'll just kind of tackle this a little bit at a time. One of the things that I want to do today before we dive in and read this is tell you that I think we've got two main objectives for studying Colossians chapter 3. First objective is to see what Paul offers the Christian as the Christian solution in dealing with the problem of sin. So we need to make sure when we walk away from this that we understand what Paul is offering us. He offered the brothers and sisters there at Colossae a solution in dealing with sin. And I will tell you that when you see what they were going through and what he was reminding them to do, you realize that it very much so is the same for us. Number two is to understand what are our responsibilities as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Okay, so those two things. How can we deal with the problem of sin? And he gives them a solution to that. And what are our responsibilities as Christians, the elect of God, beloved and holy? What are our responsibilities? All right, so I attempted to kind of give a summary, just a few sentences here for us to think about this chapter and what has led up to this. So Paul, having warned the brother in previous chapters, he now transitions to the need of the established in the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul offers a detailed description of the Christian solution. And I think that's really important for us is that sometimes we read of these things, but maybe they're not solutions. Paul gives solutions to the problem of sin in their lives. And so when we think about what they were going through, we can make direct application to us. Rather than being deceived or swayed by false alternatives, they need to seek those things which are above, where is Christ, and that is to set their mind on things above, we're going to see that, and not on things of this earth, which is very, very difficult for us today. It was difficult for them. That is because they've been raised with Christ. If we go back, Paul took us through in Colossians 2 and verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. Okay, so we're going to get into this. As they now have been baptized, they put on Christ, they're now hidden in Christ. We're going to get into that a little bit. That's an interesting saying. Waiting for the day of his coming, which they will appear with him in glory. So, with their mind set on Christ, they need to put to death. And that's a really harsh statement if you think about it. Putting to death those sins, putting to death those members, and we're going to talk about that a lot, in which they used to engage on their earthly members, which is going to create, or it does create, wrath of God. And it tells us that he's coming with that wrath. This is done by putting off the old man, putting off the old deeds, and putting on the new man, and being renewed. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's remember those two things, those two objectives. A, what are the solutions for solving the problem of sin? And what are our responsibilities as the elect of God, holy and beloved? All right, we're in chapter 3. Let's just jump in. I'm going to read the first four verses. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So, right off the bat, he is reminding them and calling them to set their minds on things above. So, just as way of, and I think I know the answer, but if I were to ask today, who here today has been raised with Christ? Who's been raised with Christ? Okay, if I look around, I'm going to call it 90-ish percent have been raised in Christ. So he's talking to us. We have a few younger in the audience today. So those of us who have been raised with Christ, we've been charged to do two things. seek those things which are above, where Christ is, and set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. So when you think about this, he charges them with it. We're being charged with that, and it's really important for us to think about. So I want you to think back to something. This may have been really recent for you, but it may have been a long time ago as well. Think back to the time when you wanted something really badly. Okay? Now you think, well, I don't know what that is. Okay, maybe it was a state championship. You say, well, that was a long time ago. Okay? Maybe it was to get a new vehicle, a new tractor, something for the farm. Maybe it was to get in better shape. No. Maybe it was a new job. I don't know what it is for you, but there was probably something you really wanted pretty badly. Well, what did you do? What did you do? Well, you thought about it probably quite a bit. Number one, you spent a lot of time thinking about it. Number two, you planned, you saved, you strategized. Maybe you worked hard for that, right? And so whatever it took, that's what you did. Well, he says, since we're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. When we seek or we sought after something, we spend time thinking about it, right? We spend time studying. We spend time strategizing. We spend time doing everything we can to attain whatever that is. And he says, think about those things that are above. Not things that are around you today. Not those who are trying to distract you, but on things that are above. And why? Well, that's where Christ is. He is seated at God's right hand, and he is above. He is not in the earth, and not to think about those things. So set your minds on things above. It refers to pursuing. I want you to, that's a word that helped me, pursuing those things above. Pursuing a deeper knowledge of Christ. Well, what are you doing to pursue a deeper knowledge for Christ? Well, what are some of the ways we can do that? We can read, we can study, we can pray. He says ask, he'll give us wisdom. So there's things we can do. So somebody turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I'll have a few verses throughout this day today if you can help me. Will somebody read Philippians 3, verse 10? What's one of the things we need to do if we're going to pursue him?
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
Okay. That we know him. So we've got to seek him. We've got to truly know him to pursue him. All right? We also know Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. If we put that first in our lives, we'll seek it first, and it will happen. The duty here in verse 2 is to set our affections on things above. You know, that's tricky, because this life we can get really busy, and we get a lot of things going on that seem in the moment important to us. You thought about that? We all get distracted about things that seem important in the moment. He says, seek heavenly things. Set your affections upon them, to love them and let your desires be towards them. Well, sometimes we get sidetracked with letting our love and desires be towards these things that are right around us. Why? Because we see them every day. We're around them. We must acquaint ourselves with them, esteem them above all other things, and lay out ourselves in preparation for the enjoyment of those things. David gave his proof of loving God, that he did diligently sought after it. Well, somebody turn to Psalms chapter 27, Psalms 27 and 4. What's it tell us about David and his preparedness for that?
I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
Okay. So he sought after that. He was seeking that. He wanted to live with the Lord all of his days. Do we seek and strive for the same thing? Of course. That's what we want to do, right? Now, just because David was a good example of someone who sought after those things and God, does that mean he didn't make mistakes? Well, no. We know that he did. But he was needed to be spiritually minded. I've got about three verses here that I think will help us. Will somebody turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 6? And we really can knock out two here with one. Will somebody go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14 and 16? So Romans chapter 8, verse 6, and Hebrews 11, 14 and 16. What's that tell us about?
For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace.
Okay. So here we have the reminder that when we set our mind on these things around us, these physical things, becoming more wealthy, buying this, getting that, it's what? Death. Death. All right. Somebody, Hebrews 11, 14, and 16.
For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. You get this, a lot of us want a home. You know, we want to get a home. We want to build our home in a nice area. We want to have a pretty place to see. And He tells us that we need to be setting our mind on this city that He's prepared for us, this home. You know, I had a golf coach tell me one time to allow your minds, don't allow your minds to think about what you don't want to do. Think about that for a second. Anybody that's played golf, you know, you see the water over here, you see out of bounds over here, you see trees over here, and you go, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go out of bounds. I don't want to hit it in the water. He's like, no. You set your mind, you set your visual, your sights on what you want to do. Don't think about all those other things. It's no different for us. Right? Set our minds on that home, that city that Christ has prepared for us, not about necessarily those things we don't want to do. We don't spend time thinking about all those things we don't want to do. We spend time thinking about what we do want to do, how we are going to do it. All right? For you have died one day to appear with Christ in glory. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we see Paul has used, or he used similar language to that of Isaiah, and something that we've read also in Psalms. So he uses this language to give us and them security. So will somebody read Isaiah 49 and 2? And then I've got a couple in Psalms here. So Isaiah 49 and 2. And then someone read Psalms 27, 5 and 6. And then Psalms 31, 19 and 20. You can read it whenever you get there.
He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver.
Okay. And what we're associating this with is in verse 3. So he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We all died. So when we were baptized, we died in him. And what has he done? Well, he's hidden us with Christ in God. So we've seen some of this similar language. So that was Isaiah, is that right, Paul? Okay. Okay, somebody read Psalms 27, 5 and 6, and then 31, 19 and 20.
In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon the rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Okay. And then 31, 19, and 20. That was 5 and 6, right? Yeah, okay. Psalms 31, 19, and 20.
How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling you keep them safe from accusing tongues.
Okay. These are just a couple verses, and we could have gone many places to see how we are hidden with him and that security that provides. Okay? Yeah, comments, Dwayne.
Well, the word hidden, it comes from having a treasure, because it's a treasure.
Yeah.
And when we have something of very much value,
what do we do with it?
We might say we hide it, but we put it in a safe deposit box. We put it where other people won't take it. You know, so I think that's kind of the idea, a place of security.
Yeah, that's right.
Always have it there at your command.
That's right. Okay, good. So he's reminding us of that. He told them about it. So Why? Well, when Christ appears, we also will appear with him in glory. Right? So making sure that we have that security. So put off the old man. Let's just jump right into this. I'm going to read verses 5 through 9. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them, but now you must also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who is created in him. So, put to death. Well, that's some strong language, and I think I completely understand why he uses these strong words. Why do we have to put these things to death? Well, first of all, he says, put to death your members. Anybody have a thought on your members? I believe that these members are identified as being certain sins that these are members of our body. Like when you think of a member, you think of something close, right? I was thinking about the song that we teach our little kids to sing, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful," you know, all these things that you be careful of. Well, why? Well, what we see, what we hear, what our feet do, right? Those are our members, in my mind. Those are our members, and we have to be careful what those members of our body do, because they can lead us right into a problem. So, other thoughts about that?
That's what Satan likes to work on.
He does.
All of those
carnal things.
Yeah.
And
he likes to keep thinking of them.
Yeah.
Dismember things.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, says, "And if your right eye causes you to sin, what do? You pluck it out and cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off." So we've seen this really harsh, strong language before. So you cut it off, cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that you cut off one of your members than to be perished. So one of the things I brought with me here, and I want to make sure I'm not getting ahead. So before we kind of read and move on, I brought with me, okay? You say, well, what are those? These used to be my favorite pair of shorts. And you look at these things. Number one, you don't have to look very closely to see the waist is all stretched out, way too big. They've got paint all over them. Well, why haven't you thrown these away, Clayton? Well, because they were my favorites. Now, I could have brought tons of pair of shoes, right? I've got old shoes now they're mowing shoes. I just can't throw them away. You got shoes like that? Does anybody have a pair of shoes or multiple pair of shoes you can't throw away, but they should have been thrown away a long time ago? Ben smiling ear to ear. We all have these things we just can't let go of. They're horrible. The elastic is no good. Yeah, I still paint in them. I threw them on the other day to go pull weeds and do other things. And I had to cinch them up tight. Why? Why does God tell us to put to death these things? Why to cut them off? Because he knows. He knows. If they're handy, and well, I like them. They fit so nice. They're really comfy. Then I'm going to go back to them. I'll just go back to them. And that's, he says, throw them away, cut them off, get rid of them. Don't have them even handy. Yeah, Dwayne.
I'm like you. I had all my boots and shoes and stuff in the closet was running over just recently. And I filled a bag full and took them to the
Goodwill or whatever.
Goodwill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? There's a reason. If they're there, we'll turn back to them. We'll use them. He uses strong language. Get rid of your eye. Pluck it out. If it's a problem for you, get rid of it. Put to death these things. And so he goes on this list to remind us, you got to put them to death. You have put on a new person. And so, and you know, I think he uses this visual for us to think about. We think about clothing. We get that. We put on clothes. We take off clothes. He gives us this visual to remind us that you have taken off and you've put to death that old person. Put on new clothes. Put on these new things. Think about these things that are much higher. So And I could probably fast forward in my notes here, but other quick thoughts or comments about that? Yeah, Mike.
Kind of another line of thought that goes along with this, you know, Paul's talking here about some of the personal sins that we might have or have had in the past, whatever, mm-hmm. but I think, though, that also might include if we're going to do what Alexander the Great did and burn our bridges behind us.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of like putting to death.
Yeah.
It also may include people that we've associated with in the past, because if you still associate with people that do these things,
you'll do them.
You still have somewhat of a desire for them, don't
you? Yep. Yeah. Why else would you be around it? I mean, you should despise those things now, right? You should really not like those or not enjoy being around them. So I think that's a great point. Other comments about that? And, you know, we've seen other lists similar to this, these lists of the flesh, these works of the flesh. So if you think about that, where else have we read about that? Well, sins of immorality in Galatians chapter 5. We won't go there, but you know these. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, being contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. That's what was talked about in Galatians, right? So what is our first line of defense? I just talked about what I need to do, toss these shorts, right? Get rid of these shoes. What's our first line of defense? Somebody turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41. And then someone else close there, Matthew 5, 29 and 30. These are two things I believe we can do.
Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Okay. It tells us we're going to have weak moments. Our flesh is weak. So what's the very first thing we can be doing? Be watchful. Be careful. Be prayerful. Walk circumspectly. It doesn't say that, but be careful and prayer. Those are the two things. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. What else can we do?
If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than that your whole body to be cast into hell.
Sorry about that. I just read that, but I had highlighted it. You know, so we have that reminder for us. That would be the self-discipline part, right? So that's one of our first lines of defense. We self-discipline ourselves. We realize, okay, I struggle with this, so I got to pluck it out. I got to get rid of it. To Mike's point, I can't hang around these friends that I used to have anymore. And isn't that what he's telling the brothers here at Colossae? You're going to have a lot of people around you. That's what we spent the last couple chapters talking about. Don't be around them. They're going to sway you. They're going to persuade you to do what they want you to do. So I had down, and we're going to run out of time, but, you know, Paul talks about these members of sin and, you know, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. If you think about all of those, most all of those tie somehow to sexual sins and issues with that. Now, there's other points to be made with those, and we could get into each one of those, but we're probably just not going to for time. Why does he call this list covetousness? You thought about that? Why does he boil it all down to that?
Inappropriate desire.
What's that?
An inappropriate desire.
Okay, inappropriate desire. And I think that when you really think about this, anything that occupies our minds or we give loyalty to, right? Maybe we create that as a god to us. So we put that in front of God. And so therefore, you have a problem. Covetousness is a constant desire for earthly things. Hence, these things are a god to us. And the desire for them is a form of idolatry, right? So if you think about that, anything we put in front of him is a source of idolatry, all right? It takes us from God. We can see that in Ephesians. Let me just turn here real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Verse 5 says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So, if you have this issue, if you put others in front of him, you're a fornicator, you are an idolatrous or covetous person, can you inherit the kingdom of God? No. Tells us right here, plain and simple, you can't do it. Won't happen. Okay? So, why be careful? Well, if we're back to chapter 3, and so he goes through this list, and he says, "But now you put off all these things, and you don't lie to each other. You put off all these old deeds, and you put on the new man, according to him." Why? Because the wrath of God is coming. All right? These things, I don't know if you've given a lot of thought to it, but when you think about what actually makes God angry, we have these small lists in the Bible. These are things that creates wrath. Verse 6, "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming." And who's it coming on? Coming upon? Those who are disobedient. So we have this list there in verse 5. And then he says, you need to be careful, because if you do these things, his wrath is coming for those people who are disobedient. All right? Thoughts or comments about that?
I see the good thing there in verse 7, you know, Paul said, some of you were part of this, but you put them off. And he's telling them, continue to put them off and warning them, don't go back. But what I see is really important here is, no matter what you've done in your past life, you can still be saved.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, you can still, there's an old saying, that a leopard can't change its spots.
Yeah.
People use that to say, well, if this person's like this,
there'll
always be like that.
Yeah.
Well, if that's true, then Jesus Christ died for nothing.
Yeah.
If we can't be made better.
Good point. Yeah. We know we can change, and we know that we can truly put on that new man. And when we die with him, when we're buried with him, then that's how it's possible. Now, to your point, it's not possible really in any other way. And when mankind tries to change it on their own, and you know, you've probably seen it 1,000 times, people that steal and they go into jail, and then they go, "Oh, I'm better," and they come out, what do? If they don't turn their life over to God, they steal again, and then they go right back in. So without him, it's impossible.
That's
so.
Why baptism is so important.
Yeah.
It washes away our sins. It definitely says that.
Yeah.
Yet some people say baptism
is
not less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we know better. We realize it's very important. Who else encouraged people? So Paul clearly encourages people to put off this old man. Who else did the same? Well, we could say James did this. Peter did this. So James, and we won't read this, but in James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, he says, "Lay aside all filthiness," right? And the overflow of wickedness. "Receive meekness with" what? "The implanted word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only." So, you know, James did his part in saying very similar things. Peter, "Lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking." He says that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So we've seen this. We see others do have very similar language, talk about the same things. All right, let's get into putting on the new man. We read verse 10. Let me pick up in verse 11. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, be holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, to God the Father through him. All right? There's a lot of good in these last verses, and some have dedicated a whole sermon to it. Paul uses this metaphor of putting on and taking off, but putting on specifically, it makes us think about clothing. We understand that visual of putting something new on and removing the old. You've put off your old self, he says. And just like the Colossians, they had already done this, to Mike's point. Some of them had already done this. And those who today have been baptized and those that he was talking to then, notice it's a past tense. You've already done this, right? So Mike called this out. You want to continue in doing those things because for some, like I said, it's past. They've already had done this. So in which you are renewed in the image of our Creator. Now, this renewal, it comes with time. It comes with, when you think about renewing anything, what comes to your mind? Have you renewed anything? What have you renewed?
You clean it up, you sharpen it up, so it's more pleasing to the eyes. It's just like you can throw away those old shorts and get some new shoes.
That's right.
And Amy could, maybe instead of looking at you, think
you what a bum. A new guy. Okay. Good. Christian showed me the other day a car that looked like just a hunk of metal, just a pile of metal, and then showed me the after picture of how somebody, it was a Ford, maybe it was a GT, and they had renewed it. It was beautiful, perfect. Perfect finish on it, perfectly painted. It looked fully restored, renewed, just like the day it probably came off the factory showroom floor. So when you think about that, how do we renew ourselves? There's only really one way, and that's through Christ. And he uses this list, Greek or Jew, doesn't matter. Circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian. What do we know about the Scythians?
They were nomads.
Yeah, nomads. And what were you going to say? Yeah,
they were supposedly from southern Russia and just brutalist people.
Yeah, brutal, rough people. So if that was what people knew of them, he's saying, listen, it doesn't matter, slave or free, a barbarian, a Scythian, you could be just a horrible person. And Mike made this comment, which was great. Greek or Jew, doesn't matter. We know that through Christ, we all have this ability. All right? Paul talked about in the second chapter, he already spoke about Christ circumcising Christians by removing what? That flesh. All right? Removing flesh, the sins of the body, this change of identity that they had that had occurred in their lives. And now reminding them, you have a new life. You have a new life. You have a new way of acting. You have a new way of thinking. You have new aspirations. You're different. And we have to do the same thing. It doesn't matter if you were baptized yesterday and you're excited about this new you, this new clean you, or it was 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? And that's why he really is reminding them to take off, take these things and throw them away. Get rid of them. Cut it off. Put them to death, because if you don't, you may want to go back to them. Okay?
Because they do accumulate.
That's right. That's right. They do. It's like a snowball. And
don't let it accumulate.
Don't let it accumulate.
It will get you down.
That's right. Good.
But you also need to replace it.
That's exactly right. You have to replace it. So we know the best way, if you're going to remove something, is to fill it back with something else. And what's he telling them to fill it back with? All these other things. And we have another list, right? So 12 through 14, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing for one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Above all things, what are we supposed to put on? Love. Well, guess what? These are things that maybe before, and sometimes maybe before you do have that. Some of these, part of that list, you may have had that before you put on Christ. But generally speaking, you don't. Okay? So to Theda's point, I love it. You're going to remove these things. You're going to cut them off, but you're going to replace them with this list. You're going to replace them with all these perfect things that God wants us focused on.
And the one thing that binds everything.
That's right.
In marriage.
That's right.
Everything is love.
Love. Well, think about that. Our brothers and sisters, What's the most important thing we could do? Love them.
Binds us.
That's right. That's the binding that we have for all of us. So that's great. In addition, let God's peace rule in your heart and be thankful. You know, you think about all the things that because we put on this new person that we should be thankful for. We have so many things to be thankful for. Are there things that are tough and does life get tricky and do we have a lot of things that can weigh us down and be a problem and we can worry about them? Sure. But we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And when we let God's peace rule in our hearts, you know, there's that verse that talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding. There is a peace that God will put in our hearts that is better than we really understand. We can't really sometimes put it in words, right? But when His Word dwells in us richly, and we talked about what were those things that we can do, we are watchful, we're prayerful, we read. One of the things we have to do is know Him. And when we know Him, we want to put Him on. We want to act just like Him. We want to be just like Him. We don't look just like Him. We want to do all the things in the Lord that's just like Him. So be watchful, whatever you do in word or deed. So He is reminding them kind of at the close of this thought. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's through your actions, through the words that you say, if you'll do them for the Lord and you give thanks to Him, life's going to be good, right? And putting on this new person is what that will help produce. So let me pause. I'm going to look at my notes. What comments do you have or thoughts or questions that you'd like to add?
The passage that I think of similar to this in concept is the one that tells us that we can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
And life is complicated enough, and we make it so much more complicated because we try to live at times two lives or serve two masters.
It's impossible to do. What's he say? And he gives us some analogies, right? You know, with trying to serve two masters and it doesn't work. So that's a good point. What other comments do you have? I love the point you're making is life is already tricky. And we think we can do both. We can pick up these shorts and, well, I can still wear them. They're still good. And knowing full well that, no, they're junk. They're no good. I've cut them off. I've thrown them away. When we, as Mike said, burn the bridge behind you, you got no bridge to go back to. So don't try to, well, I'll leave that bridge because I may need to go back. No, you don't. You don't need to go back. And I'm not going to hang out with those friends that are like the way I used to be. I'm either going to convert them or I'm going to move away from them. I'm going to either help my family to move towards God or I'm going to, you know, whatever. There's some really harsh words that he uses here to get our attention. Put to death, remove, pluck out. Okay? Yeah, Paul.
Kind of a different line of thought, but the one that comes to me is a lot of times people are very upset over earthly things. Over not getting, when they're praying for earthly things.
Yeah.
And when I read this, it kind of tells you that those things are little, and your mind should be praying on bigger things like salvation, not getting season tickets or 12 bucks. And so...
Yeah, does God care about those things? No. Should we care about those things? No. Yeah, good point. Think on those things, pursue those things, pray about those things, and we're talking about those spiritual things. Not those things that we think we need or want. So, okay, good. Appreciate your comments. We'll take just a short break as everyone comes up, and we'll reconvene in a bit.